Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
So we have been in a series looking at God's will, considering what does it look like? What does it look like to seek and to understand the will of God? I think for many of us, it's somewhat of a mystery. I would chalk the will of God up to one of the greatest mysteries of God, to try to fully comprehend and understand the will of God in your life is one of the greatest challenges and yet most fulfilling elements, I think, of being a follower of Christ. So we have spent some time looking at and asking some serious questions over the last few weeks. I hope that it has been a series that has been helpful for you. Some, I know, in our congregation have been, you know, making some employment kind of decisions, or some have been for some time feeling very kind of frustrated with their place in life, and they've been wondering, is this what God wills for me? Is this God's plan? And so hopefully this has been, again, a formative conversation where you've left here with some information, but also just left thinking about it more, challenged in your own heart to seek Him with greater desire. In our first week, we really considered this moment in history recorded in Genesis where God said, "Let there be," and there was. And through all of His words and all of the things that were created at the command of His words, the thing that blows me away the most about creation is the moment He says, "Let there be choice. Let there be a tree where man and women, where mankind will determine their will against mine." And so we looked at the tension that exists between God's sovereignty and our own human free will that does exist. In our second week, we looked at the one component that we can say for certain is God's will for your life, and that is for your salvation. That you would come to a place, according to 1 Timothy, that God our Savior wants everyone to be saved, to understand the truth, that there is this without question, a desire in God, His will, that you come to a place of faith in Him. And then last week we understood, or we tried to tackle this passage out of 1 Thessalonians that it says, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. And we tried to look at what sanctification, kind of a churchy word, really means. What does it mean to be set apart? What does it mean to allow our will and God's will to kind of come together so that the tension is less, that we actually form ourselves to be more like the Spirit of God? And we're just going to kind of continue that line of thinking as we look into this final message today. And in some ways, I hope to just offer some practical steps of how we can acquire, how we can put ourselves in a place to really do the will of God in our life. And we're going to look at this by looking at an entire chapter of Scripture and just kind of looking at what this means for us. But before we get started, though, I want to remind you that in your bulletin, there's some great space to take some notes. There is our live event through YouVersion. If you have that Bible app, open that up and you can read right along with us the Scripture that we're going to be looking at today. I just challenge you to listen closely for the voice of God in your heart. This series is called Ready to Thrive because I believe that the greatest opportunity for you to thrive in your spiritual journey, the greatest opportunity you have to really grow in God's grace, is going to be when you put yourself consistently in a place of listening for His voice and then living in obedience to what that voice, His voice, is calling us to do. We ended last week looking at a passage that I think is really popular. I think that in the context of the church, and even those outside of the church, you may have heard this before, Romans 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." This passage, this one verse, and I don't usually preach out of just one verse, but this is a supportive verse for me to understand that we are people called out of the patterns that we see around us. That just by the nature of who God is and His desire for us, when we see patterns shaping in the world, we should kind of stand opposed to those. We should not conform to those patterns. We should conform ourselves to something greater than that. It's in that desire, it's in that process for us, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, that when we live ourselves outside of the patterns that the world wants to throw at us, that then we can really begin to test, according to this passage, to really test and approve what God really desires for us, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that will happen as we experience the blessings of life and we see God's hand in it. And it will also happen when we experience the pain of life and we see God's hand in that as well. Sometimes I think we lean into the blessings and we lean away from the pain. But the reality is, I believe God is in both. And God wants to shape us through all of that. And I think that's part of what Dory's going to teach us in even forming these clay figures, as God is shaping and molding us to be more and more like Him. Last Sunday was Father's Day. Anybody remember that? This has felt like an incredibly long week for me. Last week on Father's Day, I said amen in the second service. I greeted about three people, and then I took off. I had to get out of here as fast as I could. Corbin was signed up for a basketball camp in Illinois, and the timing for us to leave here and to get to Olivet was really slim. And so I got home, packed a few things, got the trash out, tried to think about what I normally do on a Sunday night, was thinking about youth group, thinking about some stuff. We ran to Burger King real quick and had an awesome Father's Day meal. I ordered a double Whopper because it was Father's Day. I opened the sandwich, it's only a single Whopper, and I was so frazzled I didn't even notice till I was more than halfway through, and I'm like, I can't go ask for the other patty now, that just isn't right. So I paid for a double, got a single, and I think God was in, He had His hand in that. And then Corbin and I hit I-69, we take off to head to Illinois. And Corbin's driving, so I'm thinking, I'm praying, Lord, save us. And then I'm also thinking about some stuff I needed to do, and I thought about an email I needed to send out to somebody. I'm like, you know, I could grab my computer in the trunk of the car, and then all the blood flowed out of my brain and out of my face and down somewhere into my toes as I realized that my computer that I needed to be in the trunk of my car was still in the basement of my house, along with all the books I was going to read over on Monday and Tuesday while I waited for him to get done with this camp, and then I was going to return with him on Wednesday. Papers, blogs, all kinds of work, all the files on my computer, they're all here, and we're an hour down the road. I'm furious instantly. I'm frustrated. You ever have those moments? I'm not mad at anybody else. I'm just mad at myself, you know, and frustrated. And I kept bringing up the laptop over and over to Corbin, to where he's like, shut up already about the laptop, you know? And so I was on the phone with Tammy a little while later, and it was Tammy who said to me, well, I guess God has other plans for you for the next 2 days. I'm like, oh, funny. Real funny. Preaching to me, do you listen to what I'm preaching about, Tammy? I'm preaching about God's will. Right now is not the time to preach to me about accepting God's plan for my life. No, I want my laptop. That's not exactly how it went down. But you can understand that immediately she said this, and I was like, oh, material for Sunday morning has just arrived, and it's last Sunday. So I realized I had packed a tablet in my other bag, so I had a source of internet besides my big old phone, and I was able to make some things happen while I was away. But God had other plans for me, and don't you like those adjustments? How many just love adjustments to your plans, right? You're like, oh, I planned this out, and it doesn't work like that at all. Oh, I love that. I love adjustments. I think most of you are laughing out of the reality that none of us really enjoy. Some of us are okay with them. Some of us can handle them okay. Others, we just really get angry. You know, we turn into some other person, right? But for the most part, I believe God wants to work in our adjustments as much as He wants to work in our ability to plan and execute. And I think that there's good value in all of this. So in my free time of thinking, and I went to Walmart and bought a brand new tablet of paper and a pen. I was like, okay, I'm going old school. You know, if I lose this, I'm just going to go find a rock and a chisel because I'm just going backwards here. And I started like writing some notes down of what I felt like God was wanting to share with me about a lot of areas of my life. It was really a good couple of days. But I started reflecting on some of the people in Scripture that had adjustments. People that followed after God. And so because of that, we read about them. Names that many of you will be familiar with. Abraham, who was called to leave everything he knew to go to a land that God refused to reveal to him until the time was right, and a covenant that would be formed with him because of his faithfulness. I thought of Moses, who was born at just the right time in just the right circumstances, though none of them were comfortable. He was a slave. He was floating in a river to save his life, and yet he was positioned perfectly like nobody else to deliver God's people. I thought of David, who was a brave and faithful boy who faced a giant before most people should, but he was ready to do that because he was a shepherd, because he had faced lions before. What was a giant? And he did so in the understanding of knowing that his God was with him. He grew up to become a great king and became the model of what a king would be like for many. I thought of Esther. I thought of some females as well. Esther, who was really born into a less than desirable circumstances, who was then elevated to be queen. I thought of Mary, who was somehow found the favor of God at just the right time and chosen to not only carry God's son, but to nurture him and to raise him. Think about that responsibility. Think about Paul, who thought he knew everything there was to know about God and was willing to defend it even at the stake of dying for it. He would have. And then Jesus came in and adjusted his direction. Came in and revealed to him something completely new and fresh. Changed the course of their life. Mary, a young girl, God changed the course of her life. Esther, born without much of a family, changed the course of her life. David, just a young shepherd boy, God made him king. See, there's this thing about when God's people put themselves in a place of wanting to obey what He has for them, God has a way of adjusting us to be the people He needs us to be. And that is what it really means to seek and to understand, to seek and to follow the will of God for your life in the sunshine and in the cloudy skies. I started thinking too about some of the people in our lives, in your life. I started thinking about some of you who have had such moments of life that have been directed by God. They have been adjustments in your life. They have been blessings at times, and they have been pain. But they have always been at the hand of God forming you and shaping you to be the person you are. And maybe for some of you, you are thinking of someone in your life who followed the adjustments of God, who followed the guidance of God in their life, and it was huge. It was huge in their life. When I thought about this, I was asking myself, where do we find the wisdom to know God's will? Where do we find the wisdom to discern and to discover God's will? Is there an element that this is just a mystery? Is this an element that I get to choose? And what I've discovered is that I believe it is through God's Word, supremely, that we discover His plan for who we are to be, without question. In our Wesleyan belief, there's a lot of beautiful corners of the Christian world, right? And we are in a corner called Wesleyan in terms of our theological understanding. In our Wesleyan theological understanding within the Church of the Nazarene, we believe every syllable of Scripture is absolutely perfect for what we need to embrace salvation in Christ. We lean into the fact that there are some confusing things there. We'll lean into the fact that there are some things that seem contradictory at times. We're comfortable with conversations about all of that. What we understand Scripture to be primarily is a tool and an understanding of God's will for your life to embrace Him, to find Him, and to lean into His salvation for your life. And so it is with that line of thinking that we look at God's Word as what we need to understand His perfect plan for your life as well. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth about his experience of seeing how God has moved in his life. And it's in 1 Corinthians, in the very second chapter, that I want to look at length today. Let me just start by reading verse 1, chapter 2. "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, that when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I want to stop right here. This says a lot about a man who was trained and equipped with precision in the Jewish ways of law and the Jewish ways of obeying that law. He was well-trained, incredibly knowledgeable. And now he says that all he knew, all he thought he understood, is kind of being thrown aside. All of it has kind of been shook down. And now he proclaims the simplicity of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's look on verse 3. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of God's, demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but on God's power. I'll be honest with you. This prayer for me is frequent when I sit or stand here on a Sunday morning. That there would be nothing about what we do that is embraced out of persuasion or human knowledge, but that what we would all experience is God's voice, God's wisdom speaking into every heart, and somehow I get to be the channel on that many Sundays, and it's a humbling experience. But I don't ever want anyone to look at the words that I've said and say, weren't those constructed just right? Weren't those just so eloquently put so that there's a following of any preacher? But that we would look at the Word of God as the primary voice in our souls. And that I just get to be a little bit of the reflection of that on each Sunday morning. Verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for the for our glory before time began. An image into God's will for them, okay, being played out here. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. I want to stop here and look at this passage just for a moment. These original words that are kind of in quotation marks are recorded in Isaiah 64, verse 4. Dory read from, I think, verse 8 just a little while ago. This is just a little bit earlier in this same chapter where Isaiah is praising the powerful works of God in delivering His people from their enemies. And he said it like this originally. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait on Him. That's the passage that Paul is quoting here back in the Corinthian passage. He's talking about the power of God to ordain such a moment as this. That Paul began to recognize that the words he was writing and the words that he was saying, they were ordained by God long before time even began, and that he was chosen from among all to proclaim them. And he was understanding the gravity in which that they were being spoken. It's a powerful, powerful moment. But Paul also recognizes his utter dependency upon the Spirit of God working in him. So let's move on, I believe, the second half of verse 10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? How many guys have ever said that to their wives? How do you know what I'm thinking? She knows. All right, just saying. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not a spirit of this world, but a spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. Paul is really getting to the point in this part of the chapter when he's trying to help us understand that discerning the will of God and the path of God in our lives cannot come from human wisdom. It cannot come from human logic. These words can only be found as they are taught by the Spirit of God in our lives. That's what makes the Bible such a living book. You can read the same passage over and over every day, and every day receive a new truth from it, because it's not just the words of a man written onto a piece of paper. They're not just words that have been translated by really smart people into our language so that we can understand them. They are not just those words. They are the words that are also the catalyst the Spirit will use in your life to speak incredible truth to you. They are Spirit-taught words. And then he concludes this passage with a few verses that I find to be fascinating. Verse 14, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Instead, he considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject merely to human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to so instruct him?" Paul is now quoting from Isaiah 40 when he says these words. Powerful chapter, seeing the sovereignty and the control of God in Isaiah's time. But Isaiah was a man who was a prophet who did hear the Spirit of God, but lived in a time when the Spirit was limited to only the prophets. But now Paul is quoting this at a moment where the Spirit of God is dwelling among all mankind, living in every heart. And so he concludes this chapter with this powerful sentence, "But we have the mind of Christ." What Paul is telling us today, especially as we, those of us who are desperately searching for the will of God in our life, desperately searching for finding the right mate or learning the right wisdom to even stay married, whether you're looking for a job direction or whether you're looking to find support and power in the midst of your grief. Whatever you're searching the Lord's will in, what you really need is not more human logic and human understanding. What you really need in determining all of these things in your life is to embrace the mind of Christ. I believe the key element in all of this is really developing and nurturing the voice of God through His Holy Spirit in our lives. I joked a minute ago about how women can often know the thoughts of their husbands, right? This is not too much unlike a solid marriage. A marriage where after two become one, you really do begin to start to finish sentences. You really can begin to nurture the needs of your spouse. Signs of a truly healthy marriage are when you really understand the thought process of the one you're married with. And it's kind of like how the Spirit works with God. It becomes one. And so this is the fill-in-the-blank moment. These are the words I want us all to kind of leave with today as we think about the will of God. The will of God can only be perceived through the Holy Spirit, which gives us the mind of Christ. This isn't new information from what I've already said. This just kind of puts it into one phrase that I hope you'll just leave here with today. That the will of God can only be perceived through the Holy Spirit, which gives us the mind of Christ. According to Paul, human logic had nothing on the idea of lassoing the voice of God, the mind of Christ. See, It's the voice of God that compels us to be people who would adopt a child. Or crazy enough to adopt three within 3 months, right? It's the will of God that doesn't always make sense for us to go further away to college at a more expensive university, but it's a calling. It doesn't sometimes make sense to tithe our income to a church and to live generously. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense humanly, with human logic, to follow a calling in our life, to serve God, and to turn down an occupation that has greater income potential. It often doesn't make sense for some of us to make the parenting decisions that we make, but we're trying to follow the will of God, the plan of God for our home. Sometimes it doesn't make human sense to turn down a promotion in order to protect family time. Sometimes it doesn't make human logic and human sense to drive a used car to save money to be able to be more generous in other areas of our life. See, sometimes human logic just does not make sense when we are searching for and desperately seeking the will of God in our life. So some practical steps I want to just kind of throw out there today for you to think about. You might want to write them down or you might think they're crazy. That's completely up to you, and I won't judge you either way. But just some thoughts that I read this week and some thoughts that came to my mind. Number one, ask God and be patient for His response. When you're seeking the will of God, I challenge you, seek His plan. Seek Him and don't rush to conclusions. Be patient and wait. Don't overreact to signs. I've met people who are looking for signs everywhere. And I believe God speaks to us through dreams and He speaks to us through signs. But we can't overreact to every one of them. We need to be people who see the big picture of what God is speaking to us. We need to be people who read Scripture, secondly, and that we be saturated by it, not just in our desperate times. I meet a lot of people who are desperately seeking an answer, and that's when they turn to Scripture, and they're looking again for every sign in Scripture to answer that one question. But then when they get their answer, they turn away from the Bible, and they don't turn to it again until they need an answer. The Bible is meant to be something that we're saturated in on a daily basis, not just in our most desperate times. We need to seek the insight and the wisdom of godly men and women that you trust. We don't need to seek the wise counsel of humanly wise people, just them. We need to seek the wisdom of godly men and women. That's the power of the church coming together. I think we also need to wait on God's timing. I mentioned this in the first one, but I think it's mentioning again that He is never late and He is rarely early. Right? And we want to tell God His timeline, and God is constantly telling us, would you just trust me? Don't force the issue. And the final thing I want to challenge us with in a practical step here is that we need to submit to the plan of God, no matter if it brings us pleasure or pain. Submission, and I'm speaking of this from the lens of a guy, okay? But submission may be one of the greatest challenges of our life. To submit to anybody else's plan is difficult. I'll be honest. Submitting to God's plan is equally challenging at times, especially when that plan involves pain, especially when that plan involves disappointment, especially when that plan just isn't what you had been praying for. I read a quote from a Life Application Commentary last night, and I already had all my notes printed off and everything ready to go, and so I took a picture of the notes because I thought this was so good. So I'm just going to read from this commentary. No one can completely comprehend God, but through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, believers can understand spiritual truths. Believers have insight into some of God's plans, His thoughts, and His actions, because with the Spirit within, they have access to the mind of Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, believers can begin to know God's thoughts, talk with Him, and expect His answers to their prayers. Spiritual discernment, in other words, enables us to draw conclusions based on God's perspective. It enables us to make wise decisions in difficult circumstances. It enables us to recognize the activities of God's Spirit and to be able to distinguish the correct and incorrect use of Scripture. And it also helps us identify and expose false teachers. Ask God to give you His discernment as you serve Him, and let that discernment guide your daily walk. I read that and I thought, that is such good, powerful advice for us today. Because one of the greatest mysteries of this life is to know how to trust in His plan for us. And we all desire that plan is going to involve wealth and health and lots of friends. But when all that eludes us, God's love and His purposes for us are still at play. In fact, those difficulties, those frustrations, they could be the very path of God's greatest love and God's greatest purposes for you. Greg Laurie is a man that I read nearly every day, a devotional that comes into my inbox every day. And a couple of weeks ago, he wrote in his devotional these words: "Let's not try to explain the mysteries of God. We don't know. And I'm convinced that when I'm in heaven," he says, "the things that I thought were good in this life may actually be perceived as bad. The things that I perceived as bad in this life may actually be perceived as good. We might say that the good in this life is having everything go our way. But what if everything is going our way is actually keeping us with our time with God? What if those bad things that happened in our life actually brought us into our relationship with Him? We would actually look at them and say that they were good. So until that day, we simply need to trust God." So it all comes down to this moment of understanding that through the good and the bad, the rainy and the sunshine, to discern the will of God for your life, to discern the questions that lay on your heart, we just really need more of Him. The greatest thing that we need is not an answer to the whys. The greatest need in our life is not the answer to the wheres. The greatest need in our life is not the answer to the hows or the whats. The greatest need in your life and in my life is more of Him. More of Him. My greatest prayer that all of us, starting with me, but all of us from the oldest to the youngest, that we would take time in our day to pay attention to what You're speaking to us through the adjustments in our day, as well as when the plan all comes together. God, may we be Your people who see You move among us, who see our lives aligned with Your will. And may You give us greater hope and greater peace than we have ever had before as we search after Your divine plan for who we are and who we are to become. Continue to do a good work in every heart here today. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.